Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Today you're about to meet the $23 million greens powder man. Yes, that's right. A man who made $23 million selling greens powder, but not to the hippie California people, but to Joe Smith from Kansas, who was stocking up his bunker. Very, very interesting story you're going to learn today, and about the power of copywriting, about the power of turning words into money. Now, this young man also has an amazing story. It was about how a gambling debt and a big bookie drove him to finding the art of copywriting, and how he went from being a blue collar person who thought that rich people were jerks to overcoming that mentality and even overcoming the uncomfortableness of selling to make millions of dollars a day. He had at one time was generating 500 customers all through the power of copywriting. So you're gonna learn a lot of cool stuff today, including the best books for copywriting and for business, and the number one thing to focus on when you are building a business. And finally, we get into a deep discussion of morning rituals, morning routines, writing routines, and how to break the social media addiction. He went to an extreme, and you're gonna love it. And we're also gonna go through the psychology of the first sale. So let's get into it. This is Craig Ballantyne, the host of Early to Rise Radio, and I can't wait to share with you the story of the $23 million greens powder man. He was a guest of mine, an attendee at the first Perfect Life Retreat event, and he's gone on to do amazing things since. So make sure that you get your ticket to grow your business and work less and have the life of your dreams at perfectliferetreat.com. Now, I want you to meet the man who went from the 31-day fat loss cure to Patriot Greens and now to teaching copywriters all over the world. His name is Justin, and let's go and meet him in this interview. All right, Justin, welcome to the show, my man.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And so you and I have known each other for a long, long time through the fitness space, and then you had a really big hit. So why don't you take us really quick from when you jumped in, and I can't remember, what was your fat loss offer, your first fat loss offer that did well?
Yeah, so I had a hip product on ClickBank in like 2010 called the 31-Day Fat Loss Cure.
That was it. Yeah. I remember seeing those ads. So why don't you take us through a little bit of a brief history of what you did before that? You know, you were like me, kind of struggling your way through the world, and then you hit into the fitness space, and then we'll talk about the real game changer for you. So the early years of Justin, lay it on us here.
Cool. So yeah, my story kind of starts pretty funny. I was a big sports bettor in college, and how I got into all this literally started from a gambling debt that I couldn't pay. So basically my sophomore or junior year of college.
You're in Ohio State or just in some other Ohio university?
Yeah, I was at Ohio State. And I was actually really good at sports betting. I'd make like a couple grand each like season, and I would use that to not have to have a job in college, and I'd pay for books and stuff, and it was great. And then I got really cocky thinking I was better than I was. And basically one weekend I bet way more money than I could ever afford to lose. And I lost like every game that I had bet on. So I went from being up like $2,000 on the year to like down, I think it was like $1,200 on the year. So I lost like $3,200 in one weekend.
So you're 20 years old when this happens?
Yeah. Somewhere around 20. And anyways, I had this bright idea. I had seen these guys selling like their picks online. They would sell like picks for football and basketball games and stuff. And I was like, well, I'm good at like picking this stuff. Maybe I could like figure this out as a way to make this money back and pay this guy. I owed this bookie, this 6'7" red haired dude who'd beat the living crap out of me, $1,200 that I did not have. And the funny thing is, like, it ended up, so I made the ugliest website ever. It was so terrible. And I was literally just like spamming forums, trying to get traffic to it. I had no idea what I was doing. Long story short, it did not work at all for like 6 months. I'm just trying nonstop. Nothing's working. And randomly, one December, I'm home at my parents' house or college break, and I get on their computer and I'm like checking my email, and all of a sudden I get this notification from PayPal that I had a $149 sale come through. And I literally jumped up and screamed and was like running around the room like a 12-year-old girl. That was the first sale, the first dollar I had ever made online. And from that, I got into affiliate marketing with like poker and gambling sites. And I did that for a while. Did pretty well. I got up to six figures doing that. But I had a lot of like up and downs. Like I'd make six figures one year and the next year I'd make like 20 grand. So that went on for a little bit. And then when we kind of connected was 2010, somewhere in there. And that's when I kind of really got into Facebook ads and trying to scale on cold traffic. And I had a hit product there where basically after trying for about a year to scale a blog and stuff like that, I was just like, all right, I'm going for this cold traffic thing. And after about 2 months of that, got that scaling where it went from literally nothing to profiting like 40 or 50 grand a month. And that's kind of where everything really changed.
Let's talk about two things in psychology there. The psychology of the first sale, like you celebrated, like you just won, you know, the NCAA football championship with Ohio State. What was that feeling? And then not only, you know, like what did that feeling feel like then, but what did that feeling mean to your future?
So for me, the biggest thing was it showed me that this was real.
Yeah.
Cause at the time, like think back to 2000, I don't know, six, seven, like there wasn't the community that there is now. I didn't know anybody who was doing anything like this. I didn't have friends doing it. There wasn't even really like forums where people did this kind of stuff. So to me, just the idea that it was possible was a game changer. I was like, holy shit, like you really can make money online.
Yeah.
So to me, it was really just like opening my eyes to the possibility there, more than anything.
And also then before that was the psychology of persistence. So you said you did this for a long time. Most people would quit after 6 weeks. What kept you going and how has that been a big factor in the copywriting that you've done over the years? And so people listening, like how important is it to harness this power of persistence?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's funny because me and you both do coaching now and it's like, yeah, you could do it the dumb, slow way and learn it on your own, which is what I did. And I know you probably did it as well for a long time. And it's like, you look back now and it's like, God, like if I would have just got a mentor right off the bat, like so much quicker, I would have actually learned this stuff. Cause yeah, it was really a couple of years of just trying everything, trial and error. Literally I would read stuff on like a blog post or I'd find something online and I'd be like, okay, like let's try that. And then 6 months later that didn't work. And it's like, okay, find the next study and try. And like, I had no roadmap. I had no idea of like really where to go or even what to do. It was more just like throwing 10 different things against the wall and hoping one of them stuck.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into, you know, what allowed you to do that and how you help other people. And it's funny, there's quite a coincidence. Like today I wrote an email to my team. I write a weekly team email about, you know, the state of the union and everything. And I was talking about one of our coaching clients, a guy named Sam Robson, who writes copy for us, but he also came to my workshops and did all this stuff. And I was talking about how he had persistence over time. And then sure enough, I opened your email newsletter today, which is an amazing email newsletter, which would everybody listening be able to get a shot at being on that email newsletter?
Yeah, actually. So there's like a special URL. If you just go to justin123.com, you can apply to be on it.
Yeah. So justin123.com to be on one of the best copywriting newsletters out there. And you wrote an email about Sam and his persistence and also, you know, him getting a coach, which, you know, shaved years off his success because having you and your partner, Stefan. Yeah. Stefan as the coaches, it's just really going to help him out. So that was a massive decision by him. And it's been interesting to watch him over the past year. You know, he's gone through some ups and downs of good clients, bad clients, clients that promise you the world and then don't deliver on that, which we'll talk about in a bit. For everybody that wants to be a copywriter, you have to know the environment you're getting into. But it's really awesome to see him have some huge breakthroughs in the last month. And I attribute so much of that to having you and Stefan as his mentors, because you guys have been there and done that and gone through all the trials and tribulations that he will not have to go through because you guys are helping him, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of my biggest passions I've realized since I've started coaching is helping, especially the younger men and women who were kind of in the spot where I was 10 years ago. And I always really wanted that coach or that mentor, and I just really never had it. Not only did I not have that, like I said before, like I didn't have like the group even around me. Like I wasn't in masterminds. I wasn't really doing anything. It was just like a lone wolf trying to figure everything out on my own. It's just such a bad, knowing what I know now, like such a bad idea. But yeah, it's pretty amazing when you see the guys who right up front kind of understand the value of having someone guide you. Like one of my copy cubs, Tanner, basically I've talked about him a couple times in my emails, basically went from folding clothes at an Abercrombie. He was a store manager at Abercrombie, knew absolutely nothing about online marketing, not one thing. He knew he just wanted to like do something online and make money. And when we met, I was like, okay, I was like, I bet I could teach you to write emails. And he's like, kind of confused. He's like, what the hell am I going to do with that? And I was like, well, I was like, a ton of people, business owners always hit me up looking for email copywriters. And I'm like, it's not that hard to learn. I'm like, I bet you in 3 months, like if you actually put in the work, I could teach you to be a good enough email writer that you could probably start taking on clients. And he was just kind of shocked by that in general. And I actually brought him to your event, to the Perfect Life event. And that was kind of the first thing where he saw the potential of what was going on. And right after that, we started with his kind of mentoring. And I think it was literally like 3.5 months after that, he took on his first client. And nowadays he's running full scale, like email programs for Mark Stockman. And he's doing like all their email sends. And he's on pace to make like 120, 150K this year doing email stuff. And it's like,
didn't he answer a Craigslist ad?
He may have, I don't know.
How did he get in touch with you?
Oh, I met him. So I was teaching on a personal development program. They had a little portion about business. And so I taught a little bit on there, and he was one of the guys who kind of just came up to me and was like, hey man, I'm kind of interested in this. So,
Okay. I thought some guy applied to write email copy for you and it was just through a Craigslist ad or something.
No, I don't know if I've had one of those yet, but that'd be a great story.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the other things that you do, well, actually, before we get into what some of the other people you've mentored, I want to go and talk about the topic of virtual mentors, because you are the only other person who mentions Dan Kennedy, I think, as much as I do, and maybe Jesse Canone as well. And so Dan Kennedy, you either just read all his books or you listened to all his tapes or you maybe you went to some of his events because he's up in Cleveland or whatever. But talk about how the impact of Kennedy stuff had on you, what you would recommend to people listening if they want to learn copywriting or direct response, what resources to check out, and then even how powerful having like just, you know, quote unquote, a virtual mentor can be when you're on your own.
Yeah. I mean, Dan, I would say Dan and Jeremy Shoemaker were probably my two biggest influences. And Shoe Money, for people who don't know him, he was like a big CPA guy back in the day when like ringtone offers and all kinds of stuff like that were huge. And he was one of my original mentors. And then when I got more into the direct response side in copywriting, I kind of came across a bunch of Dan stuff. And I remember my initial reaction was I saw a bunch of the long copy stuff. And my initial reaction was, who the hell would ever buy anything from this long ass, ugly looking sales page? Yeah, just could not believe it. And I was like, this is so dumb. And I tried to do everything my own way for a long time. And then finally it was like, okay, there's a reason why everybody's doing it like this. It's because it works. Yeah. But yeah, Dan, the thing I love about Dan is like Dan's $12 books are amazing. Mm-hmm. His Wealth Attraction book for entrepreneurs was huge for me back in the day. I grew up with some really, really shitty beliefs about money. I grew up in a very like blue collar family with, you have to work hard for your money. Money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are assholes. Like all that stuff was just ingrained in my head. I had a real, real, uncomfortableness selling stuff. I mean, I'm still uncomfortable with it to a degree, but, I've made some huge strides in that. But, yeah, I mean, so a lot of that stuff like that Dan teaches in there, and then even his just like lower end, like, his Ultimate Sales Letter book was great for kind of getting me going in terms of copywriting. So yeah, I mean, his $12 books are like a better deal than a lot of $1,000 courses out there.
I actually just recommended The Ultimate Sales Letter to somebody today who sent me an email. So this guy out of nowhere sends me this email. It was in response to one of my Instagram stories. And he sends me an email with like an amazing subject line. And I thought he was a copywriter. I thought he was going to try and pitch me on copywriting because the subject line was, I'm out of here. And I'm like, okay, I got to open this. And it turns out he was just like parroting a phrase that I'd used in the Instagram story. And he didn't even know what copywriting was because we were going back and forth on email. And he was like, I hate my job. I wish I could work outside, but nothing outside pays enough money. So I'm stuck in this job. And I go, well, you know, you should do sales. And he goes, no, I'm too much of an introvert because he was in the real estate world, but he didn't want to do real estate sales. And I go, okay, you should try copywriting. Check out this book, The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. He goes, okay, I'll go to Early to Rise and find out what copywriting is, and I'll get this book. And I'm like, wow, you wrote that subject line. You have no idea what copywriting is. I think you might have a bit of a natural talent. So I wish that guy well, but I recommend, like, that's my go-to book. So everybody listening, if you're thinking about copywriting, you may as well start with The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. I think on like a pure structural basis of what a sales letter or sales message looks like, that's the reason why I send people to it.
Yeah, I agree. That one and then Bob Bly's book, The Copywriter's Handbook, I think is a really good overview for someone just kind of trying to pick it up for the first time.
Great. I'm glad you brought up Bob Bly. He's been a contributor to Early to Rise for years and years and years. And this wouldn't be the Early to Rise podcast without asking you if Mark Ford or Michael Masterson had any impact on your writing or Early to Rise in general.
Yeah, man. Ready, Fire, Aim is probably my most recommended book to people in the info product space or direct response space. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I read that. It's so simple now when I reread it. But at the time, the concepts he was talking about were just mind blowing to me in terms of like when you're in that $0 to $1 million kind of stage, like your sole focus should be on acquiring customers. Right. Like, don't worry about building up backend stuff. Like, don't worry so much about operations, like just make sales right out of the gate and really like grow that business and grow the customer base, which is something I actually teach now because my focus is very much on helping people convert offers on cold traffic. The first time I read that book, I remember just being like, oh, my, it was just like one of those light bulbs just going off. Like, yeah, super. I mean, everything, Michael, great leads. Once you're a little more advanced copywriter, Great Leads is a great book too.
I remember being at an event and Dan Kennedy, or maybe as a newsletter or an interview, gosh, I mean, I put so much Dan Kennedy in my head over the years. And Dan said the biggest regret that he has in business, and maybe it's changed, but the biggest regret he said at that moment was he didn't spend enough money on acquiring new customers. And I'll let you have your take on that in a second. But for me, you look at it like a pyramid. And the bigger the bottom level of the pyramid, which means the more new customers you get into the world through the $12 books, through the self-liquidating offers, whatever it is, the higher you can build the pyramid. If you don't have a lot of new customers, if you don't have them there, you can't profit on the back end. So he's, you know, now with him 40, 50 years in the game, and he looks back and he goes, if I just would have, you know, put a little more money into an offer that worked, you know, he could have a little bit more wealth. So what's your take on that one?
I mean, I 100% agree. I mean, I had a realization probably about 4 or 5 years ago. So I was running a supplement company that I started called Patriot Health Alliance. We had an offer. We had scaled to about $1 million that first year. And then we had an offer called Patriot Power Greens, which started taking off. And then it like really just took off like a rocket ship where we went from $1 million a year to $7 million a year to $23 million a year in about 2.5 years. So, and that was literally all from that one offer converting on cold traffic. And
was it a video sales letter?
No, it was a long form sales letter. One of the few long forms that like really, really scaled on cold. And I had a big realization then because everything, like when you're bringing in 500, 600, 700 customers a day, like everything on the back end works 10 times better. Like it doesn't take a genius to make the back end work. Like it's, that's not really where like it's that hard. The hard part is acquiring the customers. But that was like my first real, just kind of like eye opener where I was like, this business is literally all about customer acquisition. And the more I've kind of talked to people, and I good friends with like Joe Schrieffer from Agora Financial, and like he's the exact same way. It's all the focus goes on customer acquisition. And as soon as you like take the focus off of customer acquisition, that like dips, you see that in the back end, because the email promotions don't do as well. The affiliate stuff doesn't do as well. So that's one thing I preach. And it's funny because I know this, and even every smart marketer knows this, but even the smart marketers, like I have a guy, one of my coaching programs, who runs a $35 million business, who emailed me out of nowhere. And he was like, you know, it just dawned on me that for the last 4 months, like we've been so busy trying to get this back end thing going. He's like, we took our eye off the ball on customer acquisition. He's like, and everything just dipped.
Yeah.
And like, this is a guy running a $35 million business and just.
Yeah. That thing that you're doing that's working, stop doing it. I mean, that's a common mistake that we see all the time. So, I mean, Patriot Greens, that's just crazy. And you've told some good stories about it in your email newsletter. So talk about how you dialed in that offer, and then thinking like this is probably a good place to talk about customer avatar and how important that is to really understanding the language of your folks that you're speaking to or writing to.
Yeah. So really how that came about, there's actually a really good lesson in there. So I was doing a bunch of email buys on cold traffic, all these like conservative email lists. And I was just promoting affiliate offers, and they were doing well as an affiliate. And I was like, and most of them weren't, had no like language whatsoever that actually talked to that market. They're just testosterone offers and fat loss and whatever. And so I was like, what if I actually just made the offer completely targeted towards these 50, 60, 70-year-old conservative people? So that was the idea I started with. And I was like, all right, what can we do here? And I was like, I saw this offer that kept coming in the mail all the time for this direct mail list I was on. And it was a greens powder. This is like 2014-ish. So like greens powders were nowhere near as popular as they are today. Yeah. And I was like, this is working in direct mail. Nobody's really doing this online yet. Why don't I do a greens powder online? So I got a greens powder made, did everything with that. Now I was starting to think of like kind of a hook. And this is where I started with just thinking exactly of who this customer is. And I'm like, I know what kind of stuff works to them. Like Agora had run a promo that was like very based around Ronald Reagan, and like people who are conservatives in America, like look at Ronald Reagan as God. So it worked really, really well. And so I started thinking of like other things. I'm like, what are other things that they have this true affinity for? And the one thing I kept popping in my mind was the military. Conservatives are super patriotic and have this huge like love for the military. So I was like, let's figure out a way to make this like some type of military exclusive greens drink. So what I did was, my cousin was in the Coast Guard at the time. I sent a whole box of it out to him and his shipmates. And I was like, yo, just try this out. I want to see what you guys think. And he's like, okay. So they all tried it, and they sent me back a couple testimonials and stories about what was going on. And like three of the success stories stood out to me, because they were like these older guys in their unit. And they were talking about how their PT times had improved, and they've been like keeping up with the young guys in their unit. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, shit, that's a fucking great hook right there. Like all this market of like 50, 60, 70-year-old people, that's really what they want more than anything. They want to feel young again. They want to like be able to do the things they could do 10, 15 years ago. So we kind of, I kind of came up with a hook that this was, the greens drink that was used by elite military units, and then now is being released to the public for the first time. And that just connected like nothing I had ever seen. I mean, our first, after we dialed in the emails, I couldn't get the emails right at first. And then once I finally dialed it in, we did like a $3,000 email buy, and it brought back like $15,000 on the first day. And I was like, oh my God, like this, this is a home run. This thing's going to go forever.
That's awesome, man. Because the idea of selling greens powders to the survivalist guy who's stocking up on cigarettes and chocolate and a generator is just so contrarian. But I guess that's part of the magic.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like in the health market, like you have like the opposite spectrums with like you have the super like left wing nutty who like shop at Whole Foods and are all about like sprouts and vegetarian. And then you have the super right wing that are so paranoid and like hate the medical establishment. They're actually like very similar. They're like complete opposites, but they're actually like very similar in a lot of ways. But the kind of the big point there was really most people make the mistake of making a product and then saying, okay, now who can I sell this to? I went the complete opposite way where I was like, here's this market. I know what they want. I know what's working to this market. What can I create that I know they're also going to want as well? And that's a big lesson that I think a lot of people get wrong.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Is a lot of people are trying to jam square peg round hole. That's the analogy that I use. Like I've got this thing, especially in upsells, right? You know, I've got a product that's working. I need some upsells and I've already created this product before. So I'm just going to put it in the upsell, which is a total square peg. You're trying to jam something you have into something like that people don't want. And I guess you see that all the time. So what actually does work in upsells?
Yeah. So one of the things I teach is there's basically three upsells that work the best by far. Number one is more of the same. So in the survival niche, if we sold them a 3-day package of survival food on the front end, the first upsell is like, here, buy this 3-month box of survival food. So they already showed you on the front end that they're a buyer of survival food. So literally just selling them more of what they just bought is a home run offer pretty much every single time. And that works in like physical products. It works in even like info products and coaching programs, stuff like that. So that's number one, which is basically just selling more of the same. The second one is really get them results faster. So you see this all the time with fat loss stuff. So you're selling a fat loss workout. Your first upsell, if you wanted to sell them supplements or you wanted to sell them a meal plan or something that's going to get them accelerated results, something quicker. Everybody wants quicker results. They want the final thing done for them a lot quicker. So that works all the time. And then the third one is some type of done for you. Kelly Felix, who's probably one of the smartest internet marketers out there, he had an offer that was crushing on infomercials for a while, a Credit Secrets book. And what was interesting about that is they're selling this book for like $39. And then the first upsell was, okay, we showed you all this stuff that you can fix your credit. And instead of you going through all the process and doing all the forms, we have this program called The Automator, and it does like 90% of it for you. Do you want to upgrade to that for $97? And that's kind of the third one, which is really just done for you. Because the reality is, especially when someone's buying something in a niche that they don't really understand, like if someone's buying a credit thing, they have no faith in themselves whatsoever when it comes to fixing their own credit. Same with like a person who's buying a diet book. That means they probably have bought 8 or 9 of them before and their results before are probably not very good and they don't really have any faith in themselves. So that's kind of why done for you works so good, because they don't need to have much faith in themselves. It's like, okay, somebody else is going to do this for me, or this thing is going to do it for me. So yeah, those are kind of the three I look for when it comes to upsells, and they're pretty much around the clock working every niche.
I love that. Very helpful. So you had the Patriot Greens and you had the fat loss thing, but for a long time before that you struggled, and you did mention the money mindset at first, and you've told many, many stories in your emails. So take us through, briefly the thing that got implanted in your head when you were young and what you did to overcome that and how overcoming that has allowed you to go to 7 figures and beyond with the businesses that you've created. Like, how important is it to shed that money mindset?
Yeah, I mean, shedding that was huge. The one thing I've realized for me was that, and this is something that's has been really interesting to me, it's trying to figure out what was actually driving me all those years. Yeah. Because it really actually wasn't what I thought it was. So basically what happened in 2017, I sold my business, the supplement company. I got a huge buyout. I became like a multimillionaire for the first time in my life. That was this goal I had been trying to go, I don't know, 15 years, 12 years I've been going after. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be pretty horrible because I got this big buyout. The wire comes into my bank account. And the next day, I remember sitting there on my computer just thinking, when's the happiness coming? I'm just as miserable as I was yesterday. And that was a very, very hard pill to swallow because, like I said, I've been working on this for so long. And somewhere in my mind, I thought this is what was going to like make me whole. This is what was going to fill that like hole inside me that had been missing. And that kind of set me on this journey for about a year to try to figure out why I wasn't happy. And the more I kind of dug into it, the more I kind of realized I really wasn't happy. It really had nothing to do with the business. It was more just, I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't the type of person who, actually loved myself. I wasn't the type of person. I was literally doing everything in my business to try to get approval and recognition and all that kind of stuff. And like, honestly, that type of stuff doesn't matter how much money you make. Like, you don't, nobody ever gets enough approval and recognition with their business. But yeah, for me, that was just kind of a hard point where I had to kind of like reevaluate what I was doing, why I was doing it. And if this was like something I wanted to keep doing, or did I want to shift to something else? Because, yeah, it was just, it's kind of hard to explain, but I mean, 12 years of working for this goal, and then you get there and you're like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
And then you went on a journey of a lot of deep work, right? And you talk about working with Dr. Brent, who's got some great stuff. So what insights did you have? What helped you have those insights? And how would you describe life now?
Yeah. I'm much better now. I'm not as hard charging now, but I still get the same results. Whereas before, I was like a complete perfectionist. I never allowed myself to make mistakes. I never allowed myself to have like downtime. Like if I was watching Netflix, I had to watch a documentary because I was like learning. I wouldn't allow myself to just watch The Office because I like watching The Office.
Yeah. You were a podcast junkie, right?
I that's still one of my kind of muses where I go to where, and I know when I have stuff going on, because that's what I do to kind of numb and not feel anything. I'll go to reading books, and I'll go to podcasts, and I'll just kind of put them in. And that's literally for me, I know it's a trigger where I'm like, okay, something's going on that I'm trying not to feel. Like I'm feeling sad about something, or I'm feeling angry about something. And my way of numbing that and medicating was through learning, which is an interesting thing because like there's nobody out there that's going to be like, hey man, I think you're learning too much. Like that's not something like your buddy talks to you about after you've been reading like two books a week. But the reality was like, I was using it the exact same way as I used alcohol like years before that, where I would like binge drink just cause so I didn't have to feel anything because I was just miserable.
I used to go to people's houses, and I'd be like, if there was a magazine on the table, I had to read it. Like it was like, oh, there's the, you know, it's like my business partner, Matt, he used to get like this magazine from American Express, and it didn't matter how old it was, I had to read it if it was sitting there. And I realized like, this is compulsion that is not helpful in a way. It's an addiction to information, which it was substituting, you know, for the addiction to binge drinking that I had as well. So, you know, we were learning too much, I suppose, brothers in that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've noticed my ways of medicating have kind of just changed over the years. So it went from binge drinking, and then it went to women, and then it went to work, and then it went to learning. So it gets a little more sophisticated, and it tries to hide, but it's definitely still there.
So recently you did a digital detox, which would obviously help you with that. You spent a couple of days in a cabin with your dog, away from everything. What did you learn? What aspects of it would you recommend to people? How long before you saw any benefits? Like, do you think a few hours would be helpful? I do, but you know, talk about the experience you had there and some great life lessons.
Yeah, so this all kind of came about where I just had got the feeling again that I was had to be connected to something all the time. way too often. So whether that was me watching a YouTube show while I was eating, or me listening to a podcast, or me checking my phone right when I wake up in the morning, I felt like I had to have something on and going at all times. So I was like, okay, I actually think I need to like just break this for a couple of days and we'll see what's going on. So I went on Airbnb, rented this cabin outside of Austin. It was about 40 minutes outside of Austin. Absolutely gorgeous. Like, I mean, the land was gorgeous. The cabin was like piece of shit, but that's what I was looking for. So just a little like one room cabin, on like a 200 acre farm out in the middle of nowhere.
That sounds like No Country for Old Men part two, where it's like, this doesn't sound like it's going to end well.
That would be very scary. I'm glad that did not happen. But yeah, it was just me and my dog. We went out there. So I took no phone, no laptop, no internet, nothing. And I was like, I'm just going to hang out for 2 or 3 days and me and my dog are going to go for walks, swim in the pond. I brought some books to read, brought a notebook to put some jot notes down. And one of the most amazing things that came up was just noticing my addiction unconsciously to my phone, where anytime, so if I was reading a book or if I was like playing with my dog, anytime when the brief moment of boredom crept in, I would unconsciously, my right hand would like reach down to my pocket for my phone every single time. And that first day it literally happened, God, I don't know, probably 40 times where I was just like, man. And I just noticed it all throughout the day. I'm like, man, this is pretty crazy. Cause what it really is a boredom soother. Like that instant where you feel bored, you reach for the phone and you check messages or Instagram or whatever the hell you're doing. And I learned from not being able to do that, that when I was actually just writing stuff out and writing some stuff down while I was at the cabin, forcing myself to stay in that and keep writing, completely 100 times better for what I was doing and for my focus and for actually getting shit done. That was a game changer for me. And just breaking that addiction I was only out there for about 2.5 days, but I literally came back just very different. I immediately noticed right when I was back, I was at grabbing barbecue with one of my buddies at a food truck. And I immediately looked over and he's like on his phone while we're waiting in line. And I had no inclination to be on my phone then. I was like, wow, because 100% I would have just autopiloted, been on my phone before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful stuff. And then, so I got a quick question then about the logistics of this. Where did you pick the keys up? Because if you go to pick the keys up, most people are like, well, I got to take my phone just in case I need to call the guy or the guy needs to call me about picking. So did you have the phone through that experience?
So I brought the phone with me because I needed the directions to get there. Yeah. But I trusted myself in terms of like, I just turned it off as soon as I got there and didn't look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we were talking before the official started the podcast, and I've done these days before. Usually what I would do is Saturday night at 6 PM through Monday morning at 6 AM, no phone, no email, no laptop, no Netflix, nothing. I don't use Netflix anyways, but the thing is, for a lot of people, when I tell them to do this, they're like, but what about for directions? What about for connecting? You know, like if I'm going to meet a buddy at a baseball game, I got to take my phone in case he's late. Am I late? And you know, what gate are we at? Like, we don't realize how much of our lives are now on the phones, that how difficult it becomes. And then also on the other side of things, yeah, this is all great and wonderful. But then when you think, oh, wait a minute, I haven't, you know, checked a single text, email, Facebook message for 4 days, those things can pile up because there's a lot of nonsense that we get and a lot of relatively important stuff too. So there's that dealing with it when you come out the other side too, right?
Yeah. So that's one thing I'm going to implement the next time, where I'm going to put some standards in place where my assistant will go through my emails and just delete all the kind of like stuff that I'm not going to read or that I don't really need to read, but the important ones she'll mark and move to the top. And then I'll have like maybe, I don't know, 12, 15 kind of sitting there when I get back instead of 200.
And one thing this is also good at is when you go and do that, you're like, I'm going to unsubscribe from a bunch of things. And you're like, well, I'll just never resubscribe to them because they're not really that important. And then one thing that Yannick Silver did was I forget what he used to do this, but he set it up where he said, I'm gone for a certain amount of time. and this email will be deleted. Maybe he just made it up, but I think this can be done where all the emails get deleted. And if it's important, send it again after this date.
I love that.
Yeah, that was an autoresponder he had set up, which would be helpful.
I love that. The one thing that was also really eye-opening to me was the first day I was there was, in my head, I'm like, shit's falling apart at home. People are texting me. Something's going wrong. Something in our coaching program is blowing up. Like, all this stuff is running through my head, and I'm like, I know what's going on. I know this is happening. I got back in my car after like 2.5 days, turned my phone on. I had 2 text messages, neither of which were anything urgent. No missed calls. Like, no. Yeah, I was just like, it's kind of like a blow to your ego when you just realize the world just carries on without you. It really does. You're really not as big of a deal as you think.
Yeah, that is good. That's a great lesson and something that everybody should try. And the thing that, like, in my next book, I talk about how it's the perfect week formula. And we're talking about Sunday. I encourage people to go device free for a certain number of hours. And, you know, even if somebody starts with 2 hours, 2 waking hours, that is a long time for most people, but it even that I think can help people correct a little bit.
One of the interesting things I thought of when I was there, I was like, I wonder when the last time I went 2 days without phone or internet was. And I was trying to think back. I'm like, I'm 35 now. I'm like, it was probably sometime around when I got my first cell phone in high school. It was like year 2000. And I'm like, that's pretty crazy to think I've gone that long with a cell phone every day and online every day. And obviously, as I've gotten even older and more ingrained with online stuff, I'm spending more time than I used to.
Yeah. So one of the things you had mentioned recently in one of your email newsletters, which is kind of ironic that you're such a learner, you believe that college is a waste of time. So here's a guy who's addicted to learning, and he says, college is a waste of time. And Bedros and I actually did a podcast on this same topic because he's really adamant that college is a waste of time. So what are your thoughts on it? Why is it a waste of time?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think this is as radical of a thought as it was maybe 5 years ago because things have really changed.
It's really made it a little bit more.
Yeah. James is on the front of this train, but I feel like barring you really going into being a doctor or a lawyer or something that truly requires that. And even if you're going to do one of those, like, you should not be going straight into pre-med. You should go work at a hospital for a summer or go work at a lawyer's office for that summer before and see if you actually really like it before you get $300,000-$400,000 in debt. Yeah. I just think if you want to do anything like in terms of programming or writing or being a freelancer, or being an entrepreneur, if I was going to do it all over again, I would 100% find someone who is doing what I want to do. And I would literally beg, borrow, steal, do anything I had to do and be like, I want to work for you for a year. I'll work for you for free if I have to. I just want to learn everything from you possible. And literally, I mean, just kind of be an apprentice. And if you did that with someone who's already kind of doing what you're doing and you did that for an entire year, you're so far ahead of some kid who's sitting in a marketing or communications class for 4 years. Like it's not even a comparison.
Well, I mean, you take a look at Tanner. In 3.5 months, you taught him a skill that's 6 figures to him. And, you know, he was just a kid at Abercrombie, as you said. So it is super powerful. And one last quick question before we wrap up here is this wouldn't be the Early to Rise podcast without asking, what's your morning routine and what are your writing routine and rituals? You know, if you're going to be a copywriter, you're going to have to spend some time behind the computer writing. So what are some of the things that allow you to do your best work?
So my morning routine definitely varies depending on what I have to do. So if I have to do real hardcore writing, like a long sales letter, that comes first before anything else. And I'm always best at that early in the morning. So that's like if I have to write, it's going to be like a 6:30 to 8:30 type thing. And I'll get more done in that 2 hours. This is actually something I learned from you when you talked about your kind of, I forget what you term it, but your magic time. Yeah. I get more done in those 2 hours copywriting than like if I tried to write that same thing at 3 PM. If I don't have to write, I usually get up about 7:30. Me and my dog go to the park. We run around the park for about, I don't know, a half hour or so. It's kind of a necessity in Austin before it gets to be 100 right, degrees. Yeah, and, yeah. But yeah, we do that. And then I get back and the first thing I do is my email in the morning. And then I knock out one more task that's kind of like a big item. So I make sure to get two big things done in the morning before I do anything else.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then do you have, I remember John Carlton saying he puts on a certain outfit and he walks around his desk three times and that signifies to his brain that it's writing time. Do you have any crazy things like that?
No, I always feel left out when I hear writers that do this. Like Ian Stanley has this huge like meditation he does and it goes really deep. And I was like, I sit down and start writing.
Slam down a Patriot Greens and go right to work, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Well, I realize now, like on my list of questions, we're halfway through them, but we are running out of time. And I think the big lesson here, Justin, is, you know, we knew each other, but it was really through your daily email newsletters that made this interview so easy because I had so much material to work with. And it's very similar to my friend. Have you ever been on Simon Black's Sovereign Man email?
I used to back in the day. I don't think I am anymore.
But he did the same thing. He did daily email for 18 months before he sold anything. And it was just building up that goodwill. And how long did you go before you made any type of offer in yours?
Mine was probably about 5 months. And really, I actually didn't have any plans on doing that. I just had always wanted to write about marketing.
Or just a hobby? Or
yeah, I always had, I honestly just wanted to write about marketing and copywriting. And I was going to start a blog to do it. And I was like, I might as well just email like 100 people I know that would like to read shit that I write. And I'll just see if they want to read it and I'll make a little list. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And from there, I just had people emailing me out of the blue who were like, hey, can I get on your list? And I was like, sure. So I kind of made it a little different where you can't just opt in. You got to apply to be on it because I actually do reply to people. So I try to keep it small and keep the tire kickers off and actually serious marketers on it.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's growing. It's still a small list, but it's very
profitable.
Yeah, it's very profitable. It's very heavy hitters. I mean, it's real business owners. It's people like you and Bedros and all the big kind of big guns. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. Justin123.com for people to apply.
Yeah. Keeping it simple, man.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I will definitely have you back on because there's some other things to talk about, get a little bit more nitty gritty into the money making and stuff, but this was really, really great. And actually like one of the most fun interviews I've done. So thanks so much for being on the show, my man.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely incredible. It's amazing how he went and in 7 years got seven figures, much like Mark Ford's book is about that as well. And, you know, we gave so many props to Mark Ford here, the founder of Early to Rise, who just launched a million businesses. And now Justin is doing the same, much like I am. We're all about helping people get salvation in their business. Justin talks about copywriting. I'm about strategy and productivity and time management and all of the good stuff. And so he and I both came from a very similar background and we were able to escape it and succeed at the highest level. So what we want you to do, what we want you to do is open your mind to the opportunities available out there for you. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in, you need copywriting and the power of persuasion. You need to overcome bad money beliefs and money mistakes and focus on your future. So let me know what you thought of today's show, okay? I'd love for you to go over to iTunes, give me a 5-star ranking and a review, and then send me a direct message on Instagram at Real Craig Ballantyne and let me know what you thought of the interviews that we've been doing lately, or if you'd prefer just to have me ranting and raving for 20 or 30 minutes about a topic that I absolutely love to talk about. So let me know what you think, and then send me an email at support@earlytorise.com if you don't use Instagram. And finally, be like Justin. Get to the perfectliferetreat.com website and get your tickets to this event. It's going to be absolutely amazing. One of Justin's friends, Jason Capital, is going to be there along with Sharon Srivatsa and Bedros Koulian. All the good game changers are going to be there to help you put together the 5 power skills to grow your business, much like copywriting. All right. So we'll see you at perfectliferetreat.com. We'll see you in November in San Diego. And I can't wait to talk to you next week with another amazing show.